laid awake for a little while last night and woke up a couple times last night just pondering today, and get here this morning still pondering. And I told you before, Tommy and I, we don't talk about what music to play on Sundays or what I'm preaching on Sundays. They barely get a title in time to put it in their computer on Sunday morning. But I had so much on me the past couple days of wanting God just to rain on me. I wanted to pick sermons to talk about resting in the showers, lying beside still waters. And the best that we could come up with this morning was Destiny's Drought. How many of you are excited about the possibility of you fulfilling destiny in your life?
Amen.
Not your destiny. I've preached on this before because I think that we've become so self-centered as a church that we are always looking for we're looking for our blessing. We're wanting our destiny. We talk about our destiny. And God broke it down to me one time sitting on the couch. He said, it's not your destiny.
Right.
He said, it's my destiny. I'm just letting you play a part.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
But so many times we get caught up in mine. My ministry, my.
Hey, been there.
But I do believe that God has put in each of us a destiny. That He is wanting us to be a part in. If we believe that God created heaven and earth and created each and every one of us, then we must believe that God has a plan. And if God has a plan and He chose us, that means we're a part of His plan.
That's right.
I know you have a hard time believing that you're a part of God's plan, but even though God's not a part of your plan,
Come on.
You're still a part of His. We get to make that choice like Debbie was talking. Man, I was getting ready to preach on the dead tree in the field. I said, whew. She didn't tell me none of this yesterday, I guess in fear of me wrecking. So she didn't talk to me about this until this morning. But this morning I want to talk to you about Destiny's Drought. If you've got your Bibles, let's go to 1 Kings. And 1 Kings chapter 18, starting in verse 41. We'll go through 45. I probably won't get to the end of 45. But. Then Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of an abundance rain." So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." So when he went up and he looked again and said, "There is nothing." And seven times he said, "Go again." Then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, "There is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea." So he said, "Go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. You can stop there. I started perusing a little bit of the story. I'm just trying to figure out where God was trying to push me through this. And isn't it nice to know that He spoke, He prayed, God heard, God sent the rain. Man, everybody seems to go to that part of this story and we get all jacked up and excited because God sent the rain. And we talk about the rain being the blessings in our life and how overwhelmingly blessed we are. But I've not heard too many people go and dig into Elijah, because although Elijah told Ahab that it's not going to rain or dew's going to set on the ground until I say. Amen. Elijah was not exempt from this drought. Elijah was in and a part of this drought. Elijah experienced the same thing that the land of Israel experienced, and it was the drought. But we also know that Elijah was hand chosen by God. There was a destiny on Elijah's life. God set something up for Elijah. God was coming back and intervening with Israel, because Israel now was under this evil rule of Ahab, under this hand of a man that the Bible says that he done evil more than any other king. I mean, that God just basically said, dude, you bad. I got to take you out. And then on the scene, here comes this man, Elijah. There was nothing spoken about this guy until this had to happen. Until God wanted to change things in Israel. And then up jumped the rabbit. Here comes Elijah. Not a whole lot's talked about where he come from. Nothing's known of who he really is, his lineage, if you will. Nothing was spoken of that he was born, and none of this stuff was taking place. But here come the answer for Israel. Knowing that you've been handpicked and hand chosen for destiny, for God's destiny. He chose you. He pulled you out of nothing, put you into something. We get excited when somebody says, if you get a word spoken over your life, and man, you get so excited. I've seen people just grab those words, bundle them up, put them in their pocket, and run hard, not realizing that there's process in the promise. None of us want to experience these processes. And we soon forget about what Elijah had to go through before Elijah met his destiny. Before the fulfillment of his destiny, Elijah had to go through some stuff. Just like you and I, we all go through some type of turmoil in our life. And then we finally get to a place and we go, man, look what God has done. But it's not until that moment that a lot of us don't believe, because we struggle with what we have to face. We have this tendency of these ups and downs, and boy, don't you know, it's harder to climb up the hill than it is to run down the hill. Let something come in your life that is not, that you're not ready for. Man, you will run to the bottom of it. You will tell everybody all about it. It goes down about that fast. It's hard to get someone to talk themselves out of the valleys. It's hard to get them to talk the positive. Because all we're doing right now is experiencing the negative. During the drought, this is what Elijah was experiencing. He experienced direction. He experienced positioning. And he experienced God's provision. So this morning, if you're sitting here, and if you're anything like I am, when you're going through a drought in your life, anybody ever been through a drought?
Yeah.
I mean one where it doesn't seem like anything could ever go right. You started off Monday and ended Friday the same way. Nothing changed in between except your blood pressure. I'm going to give you the three P's to make it easy for you. Instead of saying direction, we're going to say passage. Okay, passage is a synonym for direction. So there's passage, positioning, and provision. And if we are careful to listen this morning, maybe we too will find an area in our life that we can place ourselves in. Because before you hit your destiny, you're going to experience a drought.
Yes, that's true.
Before a tree or a flower blooms, it experiences death.
Yes. Come on.
It's buried. It has to struggle and fight. See, y'all forget. All y'all see is these pretty little flowers. Y'all don't see what's hidden. Oh, y'all don't see what's hidden below the surface. All y'all see is the pretty little flowers. Can I go a little further? All y'all see is an anointed pastor that walks in after prayer time. You don't see what remains below the surface. You don't see the fight and the struggle as the seed within him begins to break loose and begins to unfold as he tries to pull as much water and as much nutrients from the ground that he can so that he can bloom and become. You and I are the same. We all must fall and fight our way through. We don't see the struggle of the rose or the tulip or whatever other flowers y'all have. Lilies. Anybody else want to add to it? All these pretty flowers. See, all that is what sold us. See, if could you imagine the commercial? I don't know where I'm going with this. I just know this is where God's taken. Could you imagine the commercial if the commercial said, now take this little seed, dig you a hole, put it down in it, cover it up, and drown it. The chances of you going and buying that seed. But instead, they want to show you this beautiful garden. And you go, those flowers are just so pretty. I want to plant some flowers in my garden. So out we run to the store and we find this little package sitting on a shelf. And we go, these are the ones I want to plant. So we grab them and take them home. And the whole while, Miss Linda, we see this pretty flower. They've even got the flower on the package. It's not the seed that's on the package. It's the flower that's on the package. It doesn't give you any backdrop of what that seed has to go through in order for it to produce its destiny in which it was created to become.
Yes.
It doesn't tell you the fight and the struggle.
Come on.
Of the chilly nights and the lonesome times and the separations and the deaths and the fight that's coming out of the ground. It doesn't tell you any of that. Y'all go find you a flower seed, and y'all show me on the package where it tells you that it's got to go through this whole big process. But we place that seed in the ground with the anticipation of it coming forth just pretty as you please. And the whole while you knew that it was going to turn just like the picture. Unless you got a brown thumb that kills every plant. Just let nature do her thing, baby. Just we'll watch dogwoods bloom or something. Just plant a garden. Never mind. Stop. But it's just like you and I. See, the whole time God has seen this beautiful outcome. God gives you the promises. Well, let me do it this way. The preacher preaches the promises.
Amen.
But doesn't talk to you about the process. And most people that hear the promises never bloom. Because they didn't understand that there had to be some things take place. And here Elijah is, this great prophet. The one that called fire from heaven. Now my confusion right now is, where did he get the water from in the drought to pour on the wood in the trench twice? I must be the only confused person here. They was in a drought. And he said, go get me barrels of water. Who had them? And if you'd have come to my house stealing my barrels, I'd probably scope down on you. Never mind. Y'all don't understand that. Got you about a mile away. I still didn't understand where they got the water from. But we're talking about this great prophet that was about to spring forth in destiny. But everything that he had to go through to get there was something that you and I struggle with. I'm not certain that he didn't struggle. The Bible doesn't mention the struggle. It just mentions where he went and what he done and what happened. It doesn't really say his struggle came at that point. We don't see the struggle of Elijah until Jezebel writes a letter. Now, for me, I'm going to say it this way. There has to be some underlying struggles, and Jezebel's letter was the camel, or the hair that broke the straw that broke the camel's back. So I'm just saying all that built up. Y'all ain't no, man, y'all's life must be gravy. Nice and creamy. You're just laying it over top of some biscuits. But God give Elijah some things that you and I, if we will take just a moment and dissect, we might be able to learn a few things of what needs to happen. First, God gives him passage. When he tells him to tell Ahab about there's not going to be any rain, the first thing that he tells him is, I want you to go to Cherith. Go down by the brook of Cherith. That's where I want you to hide. God's passage will always hide you. God's passage. In Cherith actually means to separate. God will always put you in a place of separation from evil and good, from good and bad, from drought to water, from no food to food. His passage led him to uncommon provisions. He said, go and sit by the brook during the drought. How many of you know the brook ain't going to be long? See, you get to the point, man, if God tells you to go somewhere or go do something, you think it's eternity. How many of you know that God, well, y'all ain't going to want to hear this. How many of you know that even God's blessings are temporal? Y'all didn't want that one, did you? Y'all didn't want that one, did you? Y'all wanted that God's blessing's eternal. I'm not talking about the life ever after. I'm talking about right now. I'm talking about the things, the blessings that you pray for, the blessings that you yearn for. You know, your type of blessings. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You need the new house and a new car and a new job and a new wife and a new husband and some new cheering. Because the old children, they broken. Cherith was out of the rule. Watch this. This was so revelatory for me. Cherith was out of the rule of Ahab. God's passage will take you to the place where evil does not rule. Evil has no authority. Come on. Evil has no authority over you. There is nothing there that evil can do to you. And God will take you. He will lead you through that passage. He will take you to that place. Not only will He provide for you in uncommon ways and have birds. I mean, why y'all think it was ravens? Because ravens are carnivores, right? Why couldn't it have been a dove? Because you'd have never ate no meat. You'd have lived on an olive. Yep. God knows what we need. Yes. And God will take us to these places in order to provide for us and keep us in safety, keep us out of harm's way, if you will. But many of us, we struggle with that. We struggle with the move. We struggle with the passage. But God, it's not, I don't, if I go this way, it's easier. That's your problem. If I go this way, it's faster. That's your problem. God's like a slow cooker. And it ain't because He needs time to cook it up.
Right.
He needs time to get you ready.
That's right.
He got to make sure you get your hands washed before dinner.
Yeah, that's right.
He got to make sure that your table is set.
Yep.
Y'all all about the quick. This passage that God presents to Elijah, it presented a test of faith. In times of turbulence, do you trust me enough to go this way? Do you trust me enough to go where I've told you to go? Do you trust me enough that I will provide and give to you and keep you safe? Will you go? Or are you still kicking? Come on, you bunch of kickers. You're kicking. We always want to fight the process in which God is trying to take us through. But His whole intention is to get you to a sound condition that you can take care of the destiny in which He is presenting you to. God's not going to give a child a 45 loaded. I know that's what you want. You better thank Him. Why do you think that most of these people that even win the lotteries that are broke, it don't take them no time. They broke again. Because they haven't been able to manage money well. Now they have all this. Well, guess what hasn't changed? The managing of the money well. God's not trying to take you out and put you in the middle of the promise when you're not ready.
That's right. That's good.
If he sets you in the middle of it that quick, you go fail. And God's not interested in that. God has something special for you. This whole transitioning of moving Elijah through the drought, there was positioning. God's always moving us from place to place to ready us. Don't take it literally. Don't go home and say, well, I guess I'm supposed to quit my job or leave my husband or move, pack up. God's always taken us from place to place in our life. There are times in your life that your spirituality, that your soul should rest differently with God. There's a time that this season, though it is more complicated than the last season, we have learned to rest better because God is growing us and readying us through the process. He's constantly positioning you. The baby, it's constantly positioning itself. 1 week he's up, and the next week he down. Why? It's getting time. Destiny is on its way. And you think you've got it all under control. Not understanding nothing. And you got it. Got the bull by the horns. You're running it your way. You're doing it your way. I'm going to take this road. I want to do the HUV too. Because it's faster. Now, it ain't no faster. It's the same speed limit on both sides. But the HOVE 2 has less, it has less abrasive actions. There's not so much there that will hone us, that will fine-tune us. Y'all know I'm talking about you bunch of people that, come on, you road-raging Christians. Y'all know how y'all get. Y'all know how you get going down Orange Avenue and have to hit every blooming red light. Boy, get mad, and you try to, bah! Not that we tried to do that yesterday. I didn't try going. But every light, man, red. I'm going for the love of John. Get me off Orange Avenue. Cherith, it was known for a cutting away. God takes us to different places to keep us from relying on the source that we have become comfortable with. To rely on the source that He is providing us with. Y'all don't like that neither. Because see, you've been taught indifferently. I'll be polite. You've been taught indifferently. You've been taught that. Hate coming sometimes like this. You get so caught up in what you've heard in the past that you're unwilling to open yourself up to change. And if you have minimized God's process to one man's word, you have become so full of error. The Bible is clear. His ways are not ours, and His thoughts not our thoughts. The Bible is clear, but we have minimized God's process and God's ways by culture, by tradition, by denomination, by grandma did, grandpa said. God's trying to pull us, cut us away, not to hurt us, not to kill us. Matter of fact, the Bible said that Jesus came not to get rid of the law and the prophet, but to fulfill the law and the prophet. He was building up on, y'all can't get it. He was building upon what he had already created. It is the same with us. He has created this word for us to live by. It's for our learning. But along the journey of our learning, God is building upon us, taking us from faith to faith and glory to glory. But we've been so calloused. That's a good word. We have been calloused in our ways. So much so that we become self-righteous and look at somebody and go, that's not God. Be careful. May not be God in your life because he knew you couldn't handle it that way. It's kind of like, if it was my kid, I would discipline. Well, it's not.
That's right. Amen.
So if I want to beat him. If I want to put some heat in the seat, keep your mouth shut. You raise yours, I raise mine. Loosen your collar a little bit. Man, he took him from this brook. He took him to the brook. Common sense would have said, why are you taking me to a creek? That's the way me and you would have talked. He said, go to the brook. Well, wait a minute. We're in a drought. Why am I going to a brook?
Right.
Well, I wonder how many of us have missed it. Yeah. I wonder how many of us have missed the first passage because we want to common sense it to death.
That's good.
Well, common sense says, I don't... There is a sixth sense that you and I should live by. And that sixth sense has a name. And his name is Holy Spirit. So when it don't look right or smell right or hear right or taste right or feel right, what's Holy Spirit say? You got to stay in direct communication with him. You can't get, I'm gonna leave doctors and hospitals alone all the time. I always pick on them for whatever the reason. But I shouldn't be picking on them because God put them there for us. But it shouldn't be the first place you go every time. Every time you have a nose run. Well, I guess I'll just pray. That's all I got left. All I have left to do is pray. What? That's all you have left?
Come on. Yeah.
How about trying it this way? All I have left is go to the doctor and see what they say.
That's right.
See what they can do.
Yeah.
They practicing.
Yep.
Oh.
That's good.
They practicing.
Yep.
You want, oh, I'm coming. That's why they call them practices. Practitioners. They are practicing. And guess who they are practicing on? I would rather go to the one that had created me first, that knows me better than myself, and say, okay, daddy, fix it. Well, how long I stand there and fix it? That's up to you.
That's right. That's right.
That's up to you. It's just up to you. I don't want somebody practicing with this needle or that medication or I don't want that. I want God to intervene. I want my creator to put his hands back on me and begin to mold me and make me again back to the way he wanted me to be. I'm done. I still love doctors and nurses.
Yes.
I do.
Yes.
Sometimes I have to love them because they're family. The process. He took him to a brook in a drought to be fed by a carnivore bird. I don't know if you know this, but ravens are scavengers, and they eat what they find. Uncommon provision. I got a carnivore to bring you something to eat during the famine. Y'all can look at it however you want to look at it. I'm just telling you. I mean, I would have much rather, well. He takes him from a brook, and then he says, hey, now I want you to go somewhere else. He takes you to Zarephath. Right when you begin to see everything drying up around you. And God said, don't worry about it. I kept you this long. Here, this is where I want you to go. Now watch. Watch the intensifying struggle with faith. I'm taking you from a brook that has running water at the moment, but we're in a drought, so that's going to dry. Yeah. It's hard to believe that I'm going to get fed by ravens because they're going to eat probably 90% of what they're supposed to be getting. I wonder how many of them ate what they were supposed to give him. See, y'all don't think like that. I think like that. I wonder if God was dropping them out the sky. I didn't tell you to eat that. Never mind. Let me take you from the brook. Now let me test your faith just a little bit more in the drought, because see, there's something great coming. There's something great coming, but I'm going to have to build you to that point. So I'm going to take you from a brook being fed by ravens. Now I'm going to take you to a widowed woman. That don't mean nothing to y'all, unless you study that culture. Because women couldn't work to provide for their family. Why am I going to a widowed woman that can't work and can't get food, but you're going to take me down there and tell me. I want you to go over to Zarephath, and I want you to meet this widow woman. She's going to help you. She's going to take care of you. Again, y'all kicking. I'm kicking. I know y'all don't. Y'all holier than everything. I'm kicking against it all. Not going to a brook in a drought. That don't seem like it's logical at all. I'm not going to go see no widowed woman to feed me and to keep me during a drought. Now, God, you got to come up with something better than this. I know. Y'all just said, okay. You started skipping and singing and went on your merry way. But he gets there, and here's this woman that has nothing. A little bit of meal. A little bit of oil. That's all I got. I'm getting sticks. I'm fixing the feed. And after that, it's over. He had enough faith to go. I don't know that I could have drummed up this much faith to do what was next. He said, oh, I know you ain't got nothing, and I know it's just you and your kid, but feed me first. Have y'all ever got in between a mama and a baby? Men, hello, y'all lend me your ear.
Mama Bear.
You don't get involved in that. Joe, full warning. Don't hear me. Don't even make suggestions. She got it. Whether she does or she don't, man, she got it. Stay out the way. You're going to get hurt. But now he's going to ask this widow woman, give me what you got. Feed me first. Feed me first. It wasn't a self-centered act on his part. It was a door opening on her part.
Yes, it was.
Because he said, if you'll take care of me,
God will take care of
he'll handle it.
That's right.
Amen. So now you got two people trying to live on faith right here in the midst of some turmoil.
Yep.
Boy, we can't even get together when ain't no bread on the shelf. We fighting over the last loaf.
Yep.
We sling a loaf all across the floor, and now ain't nobody got nothing. Fighting over toilet paper. Can somebody answer me a question? What's the toilet paper got to do with a runny nose? I still ain't never figured that out, man. If y'all don't think the toilet paper industry got rich, get back, preacher. This was a moment. This was also a defining moment for Elijah, because now Elijah steps out into revelation here. We've not seen the resurrection of the dead. And Elijah's in the middle of his stuff. Somebody better listen. You might get some revelation in your drought that will be life-changing.
Yeah.
Just hang on, be patient. The child dies. Mm-hmm. And Elijah gonna go and raise him? Where did he even get that from? We ain't never seen that take place. And now Elijah gonna step out and go, psh, I'm coming. What? Man, we scared to lay hands on the sick. Just what if God doesn't heal them?
Yeah.
Come on, say, y'all ain't get in the story with the man.
Yeah.
He wasn't interested in making excuses for God.
Right.
He had a revelation within him. And God said, go raise that boy from the dead. And Elijah's just, okay. I mean, after all, you had a carnivore feed me meat during a drought. Who am I to say different? And raises a boy from the dead. Man, you want to talk about destiny. It's growing the whole time. All through the fight. That tulip struggling to get past that one clump of hard soil that you didn't finally rake up. Okay, I got it. You ever watch the seed try to come through dry ground? Ever watch the seed come through manicured ground? That's been fertilized. That's been watered. See, you're trying, oh God, you're trying to grow by yourself in the drought. Thank you, Holy Spirit. If you will go to him and let the Holy Spirit water you and till the ground, I know it doesn't feel right. I know it doesn't look promising. But if we would continue to do what's needed so that our soil can produce good fruit, eventually will sprout through the ground. Can you imagine how the seed acts? My seed's below the ground and it begins to do a little sprout and it starts to see a glimmer of hope. Y'all can get that. You're fighting and struggling. And then you see a glimmer of light at the end of the tunnel. I wonder how much harder now that seed begins to get some good stretches in. Maybe that's what some of you might have, that little glimmer of hope right now. It's just not right, but there's just little signs that keep showing up. Debbie, if she wouldn't have left service, she would have told you, you can't come to this church, I'm going to call you out. Wife or not, she would tell you that's God winks.
Yeah.
As you're pushing and striving to get through. And God every once in a while just goes, come on, man. Y'all know how that was when that girl looked at you and went, you said, whew. You looking behind you, making sure there ain't no other man back there. Women, y'all know how y'all do. Don't be setting all holy on me. Y'all know how y'all do. Y'all be working that man. And that man ain't got, he don't stand a chance. Make them move states. We told you to run. Provision. Let's get back to the word. We done got sidetracked on the women and how they do men. Uncommon. These uncommon. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Just a little God winks. I just used you. And with some God winks, and I just said, Debbie would say, if she hadn't left service, she would have said, that's all I said. These provisions that God brings him through and brings us through, what these provisions do, it begins to show us God's hand involved. Come on, these are uncommon provisions. When you have no business being where you are, but you are. These are uncommon provisions. These are God's hands in the midst. Men, look, I'm going to just be honest with you, with all of you. If you're married, you're sitting beside an uncommon provision. Because there ain't no way in this world that you could have landed the one you with by yourself.
Amen.
You're married up. You think you... I know, you think... I know, but you don't. God sent you a help. God sent the helpmate.
Amen.
Matter of fact, he didn't want you to mess it up, so he knocked your tail out. He put you to sleepy sleep. Put you to beddy by. Uh-huh. And said, how this is going to happen, it's going to take me. Because you going to mess it up. And when you woke up, you went, whoa, man. And there she was. Uncommon provision. It just shows God's hand involved in your life.
Amen.
You have destiny on your life.
Yes.
You have an opportunity to be a part of something greater than you. But God's got to prepare you for what that is. Stop pushing. Stop rushing.
Yes.
Stop doing it your way. Let God have his way. You stress all the time. You just won't lay it down. You just won't give up on it. And the whole time he's saying, leave the brook. Go to Zarephath. And you're going, no. Y'all don't understand. You all the single ladies in the house say, hey. Oh, never mind. See, y'all go figure this thing out too. All these single women and single men, y'all go figure this out too. Sometimes it's not gonna line up and mesh, but you had a good night. You played that out in your own mind. You had a good night, so you marrying. Until you do, and now you don't. Because what was Tuesday was different Saturday.
Come on.
And God the whole time was trying to. And you was going, no. But she says she loved me before she hung up. But he brought me a rose. Yeah, and did you look in the mirror and smile with your black eye and go, he brought me a rose. Y'all don't want to follow me this morning. God's going to take you through life and circumstance and situations. He's preparing you for a destiny he wants you to be a part of. But it's up to you whether or not you go be a part. Now you can come back next Sunday, sit right where you're sitting this Sunday, and do the same thing next Sunday that you did this Sunday, and the Sunday after that, do the same thing, and the Sunday after that, do the same thing, and the Sunday, do I have to keep going or you got it? You keep coming and doing nothing about anything and not trusting God on anything and wondering why life. Passages, positioning, and provisions. We're going to experience those. I truly believe this. We're going to experience those before we hit destiny. Before we are laying on our bed, getting ready to meet our Father.
Yes.
And we're going to go. Glad I trusted God. Or give some of the words that's rung in my heart and will lead me for the rest of my life. None of this matters. Glad I done everything that I did because nothing else matters. Everybody's not going to be with you on the journey. Everybody's not going to stay by your side on the way.
Right.
Not everybody is going to answer the call when you ring. Not everybody is going to be there, hands out, waiting. Jesus walked the journey alone. His decision in the garden was not influenced by what was outside the garden. Some of y'all better shut the noise down. And you better get in the face of God and say, God, not my will, but your will. It doesn't matter what they're telling me. I want to know what you're telling me. It doesn't matter what they said. I want to know what you say.
Amen.
Jesus went through these phases. Can you imagine the drought that Jesus went through? Look at the people that persecuted him and turned him away, tried to kill him. I emphasize tried to kill him because he made it clear. No man takes my life.
That's right.
I lay it down.
Yes.
And if I lay it down, I'm bringing it up.
That's right.
Boy, that dude was bad. Jesus went through it. He went through uncommon provision. Broke fishermen. crooked tax collectors.
Come on.
Women.
Yep. Come on.
I'm not decreasing you.
No. Mm-hmm.
That was uncommon provision.
Yes, it was.
They weren't even supposed to be in the room, doll.
Nope.
And they up in there washing his feet.
Yep.
Glad I didn't have to do that, because I guess your feet gonna be wet for a while. Just hang them out the window. Let them air dry. Uncommon provision. And here we are, subjects of uncommon provision.
Yes, we are.
Okay, I'll help you. He died that we might live.
Amen.
It's uncommon provision. That's all I got. I just want to get to a spot to where he lets it rain.
Yes.
But there's some stuff I've got to go through. There's some things in your life that you have to push through. There's some places in your life that you've got to listen. Take direction. Be honorable. Because there's going to be that moment where he says, okay, Elijah, bring the rain.
Amen.
Best part about Elijah was, I love the tenacity. Even through all of what he went through. And then he says, hey, go tell him to eat and drink. I hear the sound. And he didn't give up. When the servant said, nope. Elijah said, well, if you don't believe it, I'm going to make you do it until you do.
That's right.
See, if you don't believe it, God's going to bring me through. I'm going to make you believe it until he does.
Amen.
If you don't believe God ain't going to hold me in his hand, I'm going to make you believe it until he does. How you going to do that? I'm going to put my head between my knees and I'm going to shut out the white noise.
Yes.
I'm going to clasp my knees on my ears so I don't hear your negativity.
Amen.
But I hear the sound.
Amen.
He's got purpose on your life. You're going through a drought? It's okay.
Yep.
Are you following the passage? Are you doing it his way or are you doing it yours? Are you partaking of his provision? Or are you still holding on to yours? If I let you go, you're going to be nice. I'm saying if I let you go, you gonna be nice.
Amen.
Cause most of y'all holy rollers go out to lunch after church. Whew. I hope I ain't gotta take my kids out to lunch. Just what I just heard. You need to tip more than the meal.
Oh, come on.
Y'all wanna go eat with us? Y'all I guess y'all cut YouTube off. Bye. I said holy rollers that probably had it live. Charlie, that does that. Nobody else coming to church.
Cancel.
How many of you believe that you can be, or that you're actually chosen to be a part of destiny?
Yes.
I mean, do you really believe that in your heart?
Yes. Yeah.
Because see, if you believe it in your heart, you're going to do differently.
Yes.
Than everybody else.
Amen.
Paul put it like this: I am fully persuaded.
Yes.
He means I'm convinced and you can't change my mind. I don't care what you see. Don't care what they're saying. I'm fully persuaded.
Amen.
And that's where you have to be in life.
Yeah.
You better be fully persuaded that you have been chosen.
Amen.
To be a part of the destiny of the kingdom.
Yes.
It's bigger than you. I wonder how many people you can make uncomfortable when you just stop talking and you just start staring.
I'm good.
Her eyes got big. Will you stand? This means I'm letting you go. I'm not throwing you a curveball. I'm not playing a trick on you. I'm not going to have altar service and call you up here. Make you step out and make you embarrass yourself in front of everybody. Because they go see you after lunch and they go see, man, they was being awful mean to the waiter. And they was just up at the altar saying, yeah, never mind. Stop laughing at everybody, Michelle. Man, my prayer for you is that the Holy Spirit will encourage you through the journey. That God's hand will keep you and protect you through the journey. Jesus never said it would be easy.
Yes.
In the RDN translation, he just said, hey, brother, don't get it twisted. You gonna have issues,
yep.
But I fixed them. That's my translation. The other translation is, hey, you're gonna have tribulations in this life. But do not fear, for I've overcome.
Yes.
For some of you less hip people that couldn't follow the RDN translation, I'll help you out. I'll give you the KJV. I used to know that one too, Dennis. I can't bring it back to memory right now. And if I did, I'd probably get tongue twisted. I play about that one, but I shouldn't. But I just brought up on it, learned the verses. Through the KJV, and now if I try to read it, man, my tongue gets wrapped around the side of my head and stuff sometimes. I just go, oh, never mind. I pray that God will keep you, that His face will shine upon you, and that your destiny will shine.